Welcome to Scaling the Gap, the podcast for leaders who refuse to settle. I'm Madeline McRae, CEO and co-founder of ProQ. Here, we cut through the noise to tackle the real challenges of scaling your business while staying true to your purpose. Every episode brings candid conversations, proven strategies, and the kind of insights that don't just inform, they ignite action. If you're ready to stop talking about impact and start making it, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Scaling the Gap. I am so excited, as always, to introduce you to the fantastic individuals that I have the absolute pleasure of meeting along my entrepreneurial journeys and meeting other fantastic leaders. And today we are joined by a group president over from Horsepower Brands to share a little bit with us about the brands that he leads and his history. He has some incredible philosophies about leadership and how that shows up in real world, in real time. And I'm so delighted to introduce you all to Jeremy Morgan. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Madeline. And thanks for the kind words. Appreciate it.
Of course. Of course. I'm so excited to share, you know, some of your philosophies with our listeners. Got some really cool kind of slants on some common ideas that I think would be really refreshing. So before we dive into all of that, why don't you share with our people a little bit about who you are and the work you do out in this world?
You bet. Well, again, thanks for having me, and thank you everybody for joining the episode. Like Madeline said, my name is Jeremy Morgan. I am a group president with Horsepower Brands. We're a franchise platform focusing in the home services industry. We have a platform of 9 different franchise brands and growing all the time, based out of Omaha, Nebraska. I happen to reside just outside the Philadelphia area. And I am responsible and blessed to serve 2 of our brands, Bumblebee Blinds and Groovy Hughes Painting.
Awesome. So we know that, you know, those who have been tuning in for a long time know that I have this long history in window treatment. So that's one of those little unsung parts about my career history, that I have this depth of knowledge. I know more things about head rail height and width and so on than depth than you would ever imagine to have forgotten. That's one of the really interesting overlaps that Jeremy and I share, bringing some window treatment chops to the table. But Jeremy, you have a really storied background, more on the paint side of the home services space. So why don't you share a little bit about your journey to get to this place so we have a little more context?
You bet. Well, it's going to make me start to feel really old here, but back in the 100 years ago when I had a lot more hair and a lot less belly, I got started as a franchise owner in the home services brand or home services category while putting myself through this through college at the University of Nebraska. And I brought a college pro painters franchise. Fellas who had to figure out how to pay for school.
Yep.
But I'm also allergic to debt. So they did not want to go in debt for that. So, selling my plasma or donating a kidney to science or something crazy like that. I go through the student newspaper and I found this thing, you know, run a painting business, and looked into it, and, you know, went through all the machinations of making the decision to become a franchisee, ultimately did, and learned a tremendous amount. You learn a lot more by doing than you do in a classroom. That was certainly due to me being in business school versus operating a business. But I ran and owned that franchise for 3 years. Was able to, through all the ups and downs, and there were both, but the ups and downs of it, I was able to graduate 100% debt-free and paid for by running that that business. After that graduation, I decided to stay with that organization on the franchisor side this time. Mm-hmm. And spend another 7 years plus with college pro painters on the franchisor side, growing franchise operations, mentoring young people as they start up in this entrepreneurial journey, and continuing to learn a lot more about what a depth of leadership and how to lead through influence versus control.
Yes. That's so powerful. I want to just pause there for a quick second.
I'm going to have an experience in that, which was really set the stage for the rest of my career, which has been mostly in franchising.
Yeah.
And now I'm back again with another painting franchise-based company. It's like I'm coming in full circle.
Yeah, that's right. It feels like The thing I always feel about home services is you get into this niche and you're in a niche inside of a larger industry and you try to get out and it sucks you back in and it sucks you back in. And it's just because you have a depth of experience. You know, you're talking about 100 years ago, but that just means you're seasoned and experienced and you're bringing a lot to the table, right? There's nothing you talk about learning in the real world of operating a business versus in a classroom. There's nothing that supplements, that replaces experience, like having actually lived it, having actually felt it, right? Those entrepreneurial ups and downs, that is not for the faint of heart. Like that is a real emotional roller coaster that takes a toll. Right? It does take
absolutely. And it's I've owned a couple of different franchises. That one, and then a recruiting company I owned a franchise of for a number of years before selling that off. Being both a franchisee has given me an appreciation and a lot more empathy, I think, for the franchisees who I've had the blessing to serve over my career. I think at this point, I was doing some counting up a while back, and I'm getting close to 600 franchise owners that I've been have a hand in launching over the course of my career.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty exciting. Think about that. But yeah, I mean, dear friends over different eras of my life working with different franchise organizations. And I always love Christmas time because you get those cards back and you see how
right?
get the chance to reconnect. So
it's
been a real ride, but a tremendous blessing to be able to get a chance to write this little small chapter in somebody else's entrepreneurial story, which is a lot of fun.
Very gratifying. And you also mentioned something that I think is really important and powerful for us to kind of pause on. It was that leading with influence, that philosophy. So there's a couple of different sides of it. And I heard a speaker once say that influence is more powerful than power. And that landed so deeply with me because oftentimes, especially when we're in a hierarchy, when you're building something, or when you're the person leading, right? When you're the one at the top, it can be hard to be responsible for motivating someone. But if you let go of the need to motivate and look at the need to inspire and influence, those are things that you have more power over, right? Than even their motivation. Motivation is an internal something they have to find themselves. But if you light the fire of inspiration and you find a way to influence, you can really move mountains. So it sounds like that's something you found early on in that franchise or side that's really served you.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'll jokingly say they tend to be, if you put it into a car GPS analogy, the franchisee needs to be able to hit the gas. That's their internal drive and motivation, to do that. They ultimately are in charge of the wheel.
Yes.
And the brake and things of that nature. Our role as leaders is to provide the map and the compass. Here's how you get there. Here's a recipe to follow. Here's the compass. And then we're the warning system as well. Hey, watch out. You're approaching here. How do we help them avoid some of those pitfalls?
Yeah.
And I try to look at that in the best way in which I can serve a prospective or current franchise owner is providing them solid counsel, a solid game plan to follow.
Yeah.
Helping them problem solve things along the way, because we all know there will be hiccups and road bumps and stuff like that. Also, just to come alongside and say, hey, you know what? I care enough about you to have a challenging conversation because I see you, if you continue to do this, this could be a likely outcome that may not be what you're seeing advantageous for you. And, loving on people enough to pat them on the back or kick them in the tail or give them a hug or a high five when necessary. But, again, all that bleeds into that idea of influence. And I think as leaders, it's important that our folks that we serve know how much we do care about them. People have a good BS detector. If they get a sense that it's all about you and not about them at all, it becomes a very transactional relationship.
Yep.
But if they understand that, hey, there's a mutual benefit, and don't be wrong, I benefit when our franchisees do. Takes care of me and my family and things of that nature. And I open, the organization needs to win too.
Sure.
But when they understand, hey, it's not just me winning, you maybe win or lose. It's we both need to win.
Right.
I think people then will lock arms with you and move forward.
Yeah. I mean, it's a much more symbiotic relationship, right? You're not going to cut off your nose to spite your face because your nose is offending you, right? Yeah. Then you're going to mess up your face, right? It's that your fates are tied together, right? And that has to be part of a rising tide, right? Really have to be part of that. Everybody lifts together. I'm going to lift you and you're going to lift me simultaneously. And there's, you know, I've always been, and I think a little part of me, small heartbreak, little heartbreak about leaders who think that the only way to succeed is to step on people as they go forward, or that there's a sense of scarcity, right? There's just not enough opportunity to go around. And that's just such a violent and unnecessarily scarce way of looking at success and at the capacity for us all to rise together. There's so much, it's more fun when you support one another as you grow. And when you have someone who's willing, who cares enough about you to say, hey, danger, Will Robinson, you are making some choices over here that may have unintended consequences that I'm looking around the bend on your behalf and sharing with you. And then on the recipient side, having that heart of a learner to say, okay, maybe I didn't see it. Thank you for alerting me, right? And then to really take the time to let it in, right? Can be hard to receive. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, one of the things that I've always chatted about with, especially, you know, I'm working in emerging brands and new, you know, organizations and stuff like that. I've had the conversation with multiple franchisees at times of like, hey, this, I don't want this to be a transactional. Like, what are you going to do for me? What am I going to do for you?
Yep.
I don't think there's any soul in that per se.
Right.
It's not as much fun, but you know, what I've really been looking for franchisees who want to be part of building a legacy.
Right.
It's not just about like it benefiting, you know, us today in the brand and you today in your business, but like, how do we build something so that when, you know, you franchisee and me, you know, group president are both retired and gone,
yep,
that this thing still exists that continues to benefit new entrepreneurs and their families for years to come. Yep. And so, you know, that's part of what motivates me is going, okay, how can I build something that will serve people even when I'm not in it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. That has a bigger life than you, right? A longer life than you, right? Like we're all, that's one of the most odd conversations I ever had. And I've had, I was a business coach for a decade. So I've had some pretty like moments of truth conversations with individuals where they're just going to lay it out there like business confessional. And one guy, we're talking about legacy and what comes next. And he was approaching the twilight of his career. And I said, so what's your plan? Like, what are you going to do with your business? And he goes, my plan is just not to die. Like, bad plan, my friend. Bad plan. You versus
me. Use that one out. He's got a real business to sell, right?
I'm pretty sure nature's going to win on that one, right? My dad always used to say, there's only two things certain in this life, death and taxes. That was it. That was his standard joke. But we have to think about like creating something more enduring, right? And our piece will matter more if it's part of something that endures, right? If it's something that flash in the pan and is here day gone tomorrow, then our contribution doesn't have as much stickiness and doesn't have as much impact. So it's a really cool way to look at it. Really nice lens.
Definitely agree.
Yep. There was something else that we were chatting about in the green room the other day that I wanted to bring into our conversation. It kind of harkens back to the beginning of your story where you really dove into entrepreneurial life, dove into franchising as your way of avoiding debt and setting yourself up well in life. But you had this philosophy that was really, really cool about living it to lead it. Tell us a little bit about where that came from, how you exemplify that in your work today, because it's a really interesting perspective.
Well, I share this with a lot of franchisees that we work with, and as they're looking to scale and grow their businesses, and I've experienced this in my own life, tough to provide value and serve somebody if you don't really understand what they do.
Mm.
How can you really bring value to that individual? And I believe that my role as a leader and roles as leaders are to serve those who we work with. And, you know, my job is, I'm a good leader if those whom I'm serving are winning. When they win, I win, the organization wins. And how do we, you know, prepare them for that? And, you know, whether that be through strategy, tactical things, planning, whatever the case may be, or just interacting and coaching.
Sure.
So that live it to lead it mindset is something that I try to lean into. And that doesn't mean that I can be a master of all things. I'm pretty good at understanding the customer or the customer relationship. I'm pretty good at understanding people. I'm pretty good at understanding kind of day-to-day business operations. But then there's some areas where I need to lean into other folks. Like I think of one of the guys I work with, Donna Conway. he is really good at the finance and valuation and stuff like that. I know enough to be dangerous.
Sure.
And then I got to go lean into it because I haven't lived that. So I have,
right.
I need to find other resources in order to be able to lead that or bring in other people who can aid me in that. But as you're looking to lead and grow and scale a small business, I think it's important that we work with franchise owners and new folks who are willing to get into the trenches and do the things. They're operators of their businesses, not just look at it like a passive investment that they just throw money at and hope everything works out, or I'm just going to hire somebody to do it for me, without truly understanding what the things are.
Yes.
Tell our new franchisees, whether they be on the painting side or in the blind side, like, hey, you need to go out there and you need to go do a ton of estimates yourself. You need to go have somebody tell you no. You need to have to figure that out. So then you're in a position to effectively coach and lead somebody who does that role.
Yeah.
Coach a lot of folks, hey, go work with your crews during service delivery, whether it be painting on the blind side. Go figure that out so you can understand a day in the life of the folks that are fulfilling those roles, so you can bring greater value to them. Or when they give you pushback or something like that, you understand where they're coming from, so you can work together towards a goal as opposed to work against one another and have an argument.
Yeah, I love it.
I think, you know, that's of all the business folks I worked with over my career, I see consistently time after time after time, those who dive in, I say, humble themselves and go do all the things.
Right.
Ultimately end up winning the hearts and minds of those whom they work with.
Yes.
They're going to develop people who will trust them and follow them. As one, there's empathy there, and they know that they're not just somebody up in the ivory tower barking orders, that they've understand it and they're trying to understand, trying to find ways to help that individual find more success in whatever role they happen to be in.
Yeah, that's so good. There's that show, Undercover Boss, where, you know, CEO comes and that's part of the journey, right? Understanding the reality from where the rubber hits the road, right? There's something wildly different. You said, go on a bunch of estimates, have people tell you no. It can feel quite heartbreaking to hear no, no, no. I have a training that I teach that I say, learn to love the no, right? When you're in sales, that's part of the journey, is learning to love that no. And sales is one of the very few places where no does not mean no. No means not right now. No means not for that price. No means not from you, right? Not under those conditions, whatever it might mean. So you have to change one of the parameters to get a different answer. But in order to do that, you have to first receive the no. You first have to be okay with that little tiny bit of a gut punch without it stealing all of your sense of capacity, right? But if you never had that happen to you, if you never got gut punched, it's quite hard to feel compassionate, the same level of empathy for someone who's going through it. And then to give them a practical pathway out, right? If you can't resonate with the emotion that they're in, it's very hard to give them a pathway through, right? You know, it's easy to be like, well, just smile and move on. Well, that's not how it feels. And that's not how emotions work, right? How do you empty your cup of that negative emotion and find a way to fill it back up with something that's more empowering? That live it to lead it is so profound, right? And there are so many small business owners. If you're listening today, and you're struggling managing your team, go strap on your boots and go out there in the field with them, live it beside them. There's that, you said, you use the word humble yourself. If you can humble yourself enough to do the, what are not looked at as glorious jobs, as the more menial jobs, the more tactical jobs, when you can do that, people see you, they watch you do it. And even if you haven't done it for a really long time, because you've started your business 2 decades ago and you're still, and now you're leading, you can remember what it feels like, and you can go back and tell the lore of your business, as my son would say, the story of when you were in the field yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And that relatability, it takes you out of your ivory tower. It makes you a real human, and it actually makes you admirable, makes people appreciate you more. It, that moment of, you called it humility, of being able to do the lowly thing or do the basic job, do the lowest paid work in your company, that moment makes you so visible and so authentic and so relatable. You will get exponential returns when you do it with intentionality.
It also, I mean, it's what we're describing is the difference between empathetic and understanding coaching versus yes. transactional dictation. Even the idea of when you talk about, you know, humbling yourself and doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
When your team and the leaders whom you serve, who are leading up folks, see how you will humble yourself and serve
mm-hmm.
folks, it starts to create a culture where the speed of that leader does become the speed of the herd.
And
I have found in my experience that organizations are kind of like teenage kids. They don't necessarily listen to you, but they watch.
And yes, they do.
Have a greater tendency to do what you do as opposed to do what you say.
Yes.
And or do what you live. And I think that is something that, you know, I try to hold myself accountable. Not always great at it. And admittedly, I try to hold myself accountable to that standard. Like, When I'm in a group, we have, you know, multiple folks on the team. Like, how can I serve these folks? How can I confer some value to them? And I want them to see me doing it with the hopes that they will then try to emulate that same behavior. But if they won't do it if they don't see me do it.
That's right. That's right. People are going to value what you do over what you say. They only start to value what you say when it fully aligns with what you do. When your words and your actions meet, they reinforce and they amplify the sound of your words. But if your words and your actions aren't aligned, then your words are empty. They're not going to get, you said lock arms earlier. They're not going to lock arms with you to save their life because they don't believe that you will, right? They don't believe that you care enough to have that moment of connection with them. So
it just creates that cognitive dissonance when in those moments that erodes or kills trust. And
Yep, that's the end of that, right? I love that the speed of the leader is the speed of the herd, right? And that businesses are like teenagers. They're not going to listen to you, but they sure are going to watch you. those are some good words of wisdom to be taken away from here. So
you told a teenage dad, right?
That's right. It's a special part of the journey to raise teenagers. They have their own breed of human. They really are.
I love them, though.
Me too. So I'm sure that there have been some really beautiful parts of this journey, and you've shared a bunch of them. Why don't you also share with our listeners a little bit of what are those unexpected challenges or hurdles that you had to cross over? What was one of the really big unexpected ones, right? There are ones that we can all, you know, imagine are going to happen, but anyone that caught you off guard?
Yeah, I mean, I've had ups and downs in every career and things at different stops in my career. The one that comes to my mind that was more of a kind of a foundational core memory or experience goes back to when, and it's something that I've carried with me throughout my entirety of my career, was it goes back to those days when I was a new franchise owner, starting up a business, paying for school and all that stuff. I had a little Ford Ranger piece of junk truck, you know, that my production vehicle, moving wires and all that kind of stuff around. And I remember I was driving along the road one day and the gauges had frozen. All of a sudden, you know, I can remember exactly where I was on I-80 by Gretna, Nebraska. In fact, I know I just go right back there. But I'm sitting there trucking along in my vehicle early on in the stages where I had, my balance sheet was not very favorable. I had a lot of deposits taken from customers, using that to buy marketing and material and equipment and all that stuff. So lots of liabilities, not a lot of cash assets and all that kind of stuff. And you know, during that ramp up phase of a business, working my tail off, working 27 hours a day and doing the grind to build something, and trucking along the road there. And all of a sudden I heard the sound of twisting and tearing metal in the vehicle being and all that kind of stuff. I roll up on the side of a off ramp there and start to see the stuff billow out from underneath the hood. And you get that slow motion panic that starts kind of at your gut, and you feel your face get red, and you guys start to do that. I remember getting out of the truck, opening up the hood, and the stuff billows out. And I'm not the most mechanical of individuals, that kind of stuff, but all I know is that I looked down in that thing and I saw some flames.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What's going on? The gauges are frozen. It overheated, cracked the block, and some oil combusted in the engine. I didn't know that. I just saw a fire, and I thought I was screwed.
Yeah.
And I remember going around to the back of my truck, thinking to myself, just feel that panic of like, oh my gosh, my truck doesn't work. I can't move crews. I've taken all these deposits. I can't get the house painted. Go back to that offer money because I spent it on ladders. What am I going to do? I can't go to school. I'm going to end up living under this overpass. Oh my, freaking out. I walk around to the back of my truck. I put down the tailgate. I sit on it, and I bald. I mean, mine cried like a girl dumped at prom. It's not bubbling out tears. That was a hot mess.
Yep.
In that moment, I didn't know what to do. So I called my coach. And I remember, Troy, if you're out there, love you, man. I remember calling him up and like, dude, it's on fire. And he's like, what's going on? And in that moment of crisis, I had a leader who took a call after hours away from his family to help somebody who he cared about problem solve and work through the steps. And through that kind of coaching and stuff, he met me where I was at in the moment. And I went on to becoming a very high performer in our system.
Right.
But, you know, in that moment, I could have...
You could have thrown in the towel. Lost hope.
Yeah. He met me where I was at. He coached me through that. He had lived that kind of situation. He told me about a time when something similar happened to him. Walked me through the steps as a young man on what to do and all that kind of stuff. And over the next few days and weeks, shepherded me through that crisis in my business.
Yeah.
Being okay. You know?
Yep.
But the one thing to remember is he told me the truth, which I always appreciated. And I remember talking to him. He was like, listen, you know, Jeremy, you have a choice right now. This can either hurt you or could kill you. You get to decide there, pal. I can't decide that for you.
Right.
And that always stuck. He's like, he never told you. He didn't tell me it was all going to be okay. It would be probably like, no, it'll ding you. It'll sting. It hurt or kill. Which way you want to go? And challenged me within that and met me where is that and helped me and led me in that moment. And I ended up, you know, here I am.
Right.
30 years later, running still. But I mean, in those kind of moments, that stuck with me. And I've tried to be that kind of leader, coach, or friend. To the folks that I've had the blessing to, work with over these years. And it's something I always try to aspire towards.
Yeah. I love that. What I really appreciate, you just had a moment of breakdown. You cried. You gave yourself a moment to process your emotions. Like, that's okay. It's all right to be upset when bad things happen. You're allowed to be upset.
Yeah.
And then you reached out for help and help grounded you, but it didn't do lipstick on a pig. It didn't say, hey, this is either going to hurt you or help you. He said, it's either going to hurt you or kill you, right? It's a choose your hard. There isn't an easy way in this moment. You can endure the pain and get through it. Or you can give up, right? And let it be the end, right? So I just think that that level of, you know, one of the hallmarks at ProQ and one of the hallmarks just of me as a human and as a leader is I like to tell it the way it is. I want to tell you the truth. And a lot of times, you know, especially in this thought leadership space, entrepreneur, especially growth consulting, people are like, it's going to be easy. We have the silver bullet. Come over here. And I say, very first thing I say, sad news, no such thing as a silver bullet. It does not exist. It took you time to get here. It's going to take you time to get there as well. And it doesn't mean it's unattainable for you. And it doesn't mean that you have to take the long, hard road every time, right? But it doesn't mean that there's also not like an epic, we can't teleport there. There's no teleportation available in your business. You have to walk there. Maybe you can run, maybe you can jog, but you have to move in that direction and go cover the ground, right? So that's so cool. I love that he was so real with you and didn't try to make it better for you, make it nice, just allowed you to go through it and practically supported you with the steps that you needed. Powerful.
Yeah, it was one of those key foundational things that was
in
life that, you know, that was something that's served me. And I think back, you know, having the benefit of hindsight.
Yeah.
Almost 30 years later, you look back and that, you know what?
Yeah.
Kind of glad that hard thing happened because of it happened for a reason. The benefit that's come out of that hard thing has given me some tools and ability and to connect with folks who are in hard things.
Yep.
But the tools to also connect with people. And so I'm grateful for that terrible experience.
Yep.
For how it's served me and hopefully others.
Through it.
Across the years. So sometimes I joke and say, be thankful for your bullshit. Or be thankful in the midst of it. But when you, there's a reason these things happen and they can't serve you.
Yeah. I call it a beautiful gift in ugly wrapping paper, right? Don't just chuck the gift out over your shoulder because the wrapping paper is ugly. But sometimes it's hard even to be willing to open the gift because the wrapping paper is so ugly and so smelly and gross. And who wants that? Nobody, actually. But we don't get what we want. We get what we need, right? We get what we need. And you needed this moment of live it to lead it. Like, this was a core root of that. You lived that moment of heartbreak, sitting there, snot dripping down your face, in the back of your truck, with it literally on fire in front of you, right? Like, I would have been running away because I was worried the car would explode, right? So that would have been like...
I was too panicked. That was a hot mess. That was no good that day.
I'm sure. Well, thank you for sharing your story so raw and real with us. Thank you for dropping these little nuggets of wisdom that, you know, you have grown, gathered along your journey, and now you take the responsibility of sharing it with other people, serving other people first, living it to leading it, and also leaning in for the support where you don't have the depth of experience, where you don't have what the resources you need to be the top of game on it, knowing where your limits are. It's been a really powerful conversation. Thank you for this.
I hope now this is discouraging to folks who are looking at being entrepreneurs. I think there's no greater heroic journey in life, short of parenthood, maybe, to do these things. Yes, it is hard. It is hard. Yeah. You see, this owner, that you start a business, that first 18 months will be one of the hardest things you've ever done in your life. Boy, is it worth it.
That's right.
I think it is absolutely heroic and inspiring. And I count myself truly blessed to have had the opportunity and continue to have the opportunity to work with people who are entering into that space. It is one of the, it's part of my life's work now.
Yeah.
People achieve that stuff. And it is a delight to really connect with folks in that space. And like I said, quite small, a couple of lines in their story. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we talked a lot about the wrapping paper, but it's actually the gift inside that's important, right? And that's the, who you get to become along the journey of entrepreneurship is part of the joy, right? You become a different person through this heroic journey. You can allow it to transform you in such powerful and incredible ways. And then the gift that you get to be to the people in your team, to the homeowners that you serve, to the community you live in, the ripple effect of one really excellent entrepreneur in their community is really significant, really significant. And that yes, you can go work for somebody else. Yes, you can do other things, but there isn't something quite as dramatic as that being that one ripple effect individual than business ownership, right? I'm right alongside of you. It's part of my life's work as well. There's something special about the grit and the tenacity and the capacity of someone to say, all right, I'm going to bet on myself and I'm going to bet big and here, let's go. And then, you know, joining up with a brand like Horsepower and the brands that you Groovy Hughes or Bumblebee Blinds is another really powerful way that you maybe shorten that learning curve, right? We said no silver bullet, but there sure is a shorter learning curve when you have someone who already has the formula, who has the recipe, who can give you the guidance. You know, I've watched people do it at ground up. I've watched people do it through franchising. I've watched people do it through purchasing an existing business. And they're just all different journeys. And it's really cool that you have these resources to offer to people who are ready to take that entrepreneurial journey, who don't just want to be passive investors, who want to put the work in, be boots on the street, and really build something significant that has a power to leave a legacy.
It's awesome to see, and the impact you can have on what ends up being, by the time you have thousands of people, not just the customers who, you know, being a professional serving those folks in their home, but building teams. I think of a time when I was at a conference and I was with a subcontractor of one of our painters.
Yeah,
he'd been a longtime subcontractor. He had immigrated here from El Salvador when they had their civil war and all stuff. And, you know, he lived just this wild life. He was kind of working his way across the country and stuff from a very young age. I mean, a young age, he saw his father killed in front of him and all this stuff. And but just a absolute sweetheart of a human being. I joke and say he's a golden retriever of a human being. Just an absolute, just this gentle guy, hardworking guy. And his name was Cesar. And I remember sitting there having a having a drink with him, and he's telling me a story and learning about him. He was, you know, hearing about his journey. Yeah. And he'll always stick with me when he said, you know, Mr. Yatterman, and his thick, you know, accent. He's like, I'll never go to American college, but because of what you do, helping people start these businesses like the one I work with and the opportunities it's created for me, my children will.
Oh, goosebumps.
Yeah, I mean, and so, I mean, you know, if you have a desire and go, how can I create opportunities for myself, my family, but also have that inner drive to serve others and create opportunities for folks, you know, business ownership is a wonderful way to achieve that.
Absolutely. That's very moving. Well, I have so loved our conversation, but there's one last final question, right? And those of you who are loyal listeners of the show, you know what it is. We have to go there. One last question before we wrap it up. We have so many good nuggets. But the last question for you, Jeremy, is that given all of these epic journeys that you've been on and that you've been a catalyst for, and these 600 individuals that you've inspired and helped along their journeys of entrepreneurship, do you consider yourself to be successful?
In the journey is the goal. I mean, I don't know that I'll ever be, I don't consider an end destination as a success, but the way I look at it is if I've, you know, my life's purpose, I've actually written on my whiteboard, I see it every day, it's written above my monitor, says my purpose is to aid others in the discovery of and or pursuit of theirs. If I am consistently living up to that principle and the things that I'm doing are aligning with that principle, and I am able to help people along that way and hopefully inspire a few along the way towards that. Yeah, I'm working at it.
That's awesome. I love it.
I never want to say I've gotten there because then I'll get complacent and I won't have purpose anymore. But
there's something to continuously maintaining that tension, right? That there's still room to grow. There's still room to move. I always like to kind of backwards engineer a little success algorithm as I listen to my guests tell their stories and we have this chat about success. And you have such a succinct purpose here to aid others in the discovery and pursuit of theirs, right? That's a really powerful component part. And I would also add that there's this, the very first thing you said is something about the journey is the purpose, right? Like maintaining that tension between who you are becoming and who you are, keeping in alignment, but also keeping the capacity to grow more inside of that context, I think is really a powerful part of your work as a leader and your success journey too. Really cool. Love it. Love it. Well, thank you so much for joining me for the show today. Thank you for sharing all these cool little nuggets of wisdom. I really enjoyed our chat. And those of you listening at home, I just remember this, I think one of the key takeaways for me is the live it to lead it. And also that component part of empathetic leadership and coaching, being able to meet people where they are, to roll up your sleeves, put in the work, be seen doing those humble jobs so that the people that you're leading know that your heart of service is not just lip service, but it's lived and it's real and it has something genuine and authentic supporting it. So it doesn't have that kind of emptiness of just ivory tower words that don't really help too many people. So if people want to learn a little bit more about the brands that you serve, if people want to connect with you further, Jeremy, where can they find you?
Well, you can certainly find me on LinkedIn. My handle there is, you know, LinkedIn.com. After the /, it's Jeremy N. Morgan. You can look me up there. My email address is jmorgan@horsepowerbrands.com. Please feel free to drop me a note. And then I would encourage you to check out our brands. I've got two awesome teams. I'm so, you know, humbled and blessed and proud of them. Our Groovy Hughes team. So you can find out more about Groovy Hughes at groovyhughes.com. And then our Bumblebee Blinds team over at bumblebeeblinds.com. Both are top-notch groups, servant leaders in their own right. And encourage you, if you're looking at entrepreneurship and a franchise, I invite you to consider looking at either one of those brands or any of the brands in the Horsepower Brands portfolio of businesses. And if I can be of any service to you, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact me via LinkedIn or drop me an email. I'd be happy to chat with you.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we'll link all of those URLs here in the show notes. And thank you so much again for being our guest. And for those of you listening at home, never be too big for your own britches, right? Don't forget that you can have the most powerful impact. You can influence behaviors. You can be one of the most powerful leaders when you humble yourself enough to serve first.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Scaling the Gap. If today's episode inspired you or sparked an idea, I'd love to hear about it. If you're an ambitious leader with a story to share, visit proqsystems.com, click on Media and Events, then select Podcast to apply to be our guest. We'd love to spotlight your journey. Also, don't forget to follow the show and leave us a review to help bring more transformative insights to leaders just like you. You can also connect with me, Madeline McCray, on LinkedIn for more conversations, access to our exclusive tools and resources. Until next time, keep scaling your impact and building a legacy that matters.